Hey, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Captain Hunter's Podcast, the podcast that is dedicated to bridging the divide between the police and the communities that they serve. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for liking, sharing, and subscribing. Please make sure that you're doing that. No matter what platform you're listening to this podcast on, Spreaker, Breaker, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, Spotify, iTunes, Google Play Music, wherever you're listening to this podcast at, please make sure that you are rating it, subscribing to it, and sharing it with your friends, with your coworkers, your family members, law enforcement, people who are not law enforcement. Please remember that you can support the podcast through Venmo, PayPal, and Cash App. I also have a Patreon page, Captain Hunter's Podcast on Patreon. Again, Venmo, PayPal, and Cash App, all of those are CPTL Hunter. It does cost a little bit for me to put these episodes out, so any love and support that you would give would only help me keep it going and keep it growing. Thank you so much for the love and the support that you have been giving. I really, really appreciate it. I'm not just saying that. So we have a great episode for you today. Now, I recorded this episode back in December of 2019, and I have a number of episodes that are ready to go, and I wanted to do a little bit about Black history, but I decided to release this episode, which is going to feature Native American mascots and Native American issues, because of the Super Bowl and because of the Kansas City Chiefs and, the whole mascot issues. As you'll hear me declare or hear me talk about with my special guest, Dr. Laurel Davis Delano, I came across an article, I think it was back in November 2019, talking about Killingly High School had changed their mascot from the Red Men. I'm not even sure if that's a racial slur or not, but let's just say the R Men. They wanted to change that from the Red Men to the Red Hawks, their R word to the Red Hawks. Now, they changed the name to be more sensitive to the plight of Native people. And during this past school season, the parents, former members of the high school, came together for a big panel, and they decided to change the name back to the R-Men. Now, I was kind of floored by this because they got together at one time and said, okay, we're going to be culturally sensitive and change it to the Red Hawks. And then they decided to change it back to something that's more culturally insensitive. So I think that there's definitely something when people talk about this current administration that's in the White House, there's definitely something that has been sparked. I'm not going to change this into a totally political podcast, but there's definitely something that's in the air. And I think that this is one of the effects of what's in the air. And that's why I decided to reach out to Dr. Laurel Davis Delano and talk about this particular problem. And so she was so kind enough and gracious enough to come on the podcast and share her expertise. But that's the reason why. And I really was floored by this particular article in news that was going on. And so much so that when you read the different newspaper articles concerning this, is that many of the people actually voted the town leaders out. They almost flipped from the Democrats to the Republicans in Killingly, Connecticut, because of this issue. And as we'll discuss in the podcast, you will understand that this is not just isolated to Connecticut, but numerous cities and towns all over the country are wrestling with not only with this mascot debate, but they are flipping legislatures and flipping the political spectrum because of these mascot issues. And I think that that's very telling. You know, there's so many issues that should be discussed when we're talking about, you know, who you're going to vote for, right? Who's going, especially on small town elections, right? You want to talk about who's paving the roads and, you know, your local police department and school boards and elections and aldermen and all these issues that really affect people's lives. And to flip school boards over this issue, flip the leadership of a town over an issue as trivial as a mascot really seems very, well, trivial to me and really very silly. So I wanted to have this conversation. And so once again, I want to thank Dr. Laurel Davis Delano for coming on the podcast and talking about it. Now, what happened is that during this conversation, we finished the conversation, obviously recorded back in December 2019. And because of the Super Bowl, I decided to call her back with the Kansas City Chiefs being in and winning the Super Bowl. Also, we'll also talk about the 49ers, right? And there's a history between the 49ers being colonizers and all that kind of stuff. So between these two mascot names being in the Super Bowl, I reached out to Dr. Davis Delano. And again, we had another 50-minute conversation. So that's going to be actually part two. And I'll release that next week. So stay tuned for that. But I want to get this out there. And I really think it's very important to keep this conversation going and growing. You know, and I think this is really important from a law enforcement aspect, because law enforcement is oftentimes going to be called to deal with people who are disenfranchised and feel disaffected and who feel mistreated and who are rebelling and all that kind of stuff. So it's very important to have these discussions, number one, for an academic purpose, right? Because you as the listener, we want to learn something, right? I want to learn something. I think we all want to learn something. We have to learn what communities are going through. It's not just the Black community. It's not just a white community. It's not just the Hispanic community, but we ought to learn about all communities that we live with and go to the store with and sit next to at games and everything like that. So that's it. And I just wanted to talk about that. So this is part one of the conversation between myself and Dr. Laurel Davis Delano. So let me just give you a little bit about her and her bio. Dr. Laurel Davis Delano is a professor of sociology at Springfield College in Massachusetts. Dr. Davis Delano's research is focused on inequality related to race, gender, and sexual orientation. One topic Dr. Davis Delano studies is Native American mascots, and she communicates with other scholars who also study this topic. Davis Delano is currently working on a research project that involves analysis of survey data from over 5,000 non-Native U.S. participants in an attempt to understand the degree to which they are exposed to representations of Native Americans and the content of the representations they most commonly experience. We're going to have a great conversation. I'm really, really believing that you're going to enjoy this conversation. Just one more thing. As I try to get into the conversations with people, I try to do a little bit of a warm-up. I do a warm-up conversation before I start recording, and then we usually pick up a little bit later on. Our warm-up conversation was actually very good, and we had a discussion as to why some people have been reluctant to come on to my podcast. And I'm saying that because I want people to actually listen to the podcast. And if you are a potential guest, or if I reach out to you, or if you know of a potential guest, I want to have these conversations that are tough and difficult. And I think that we always say that we want to have a national conversation about race, a national conversation about criminal justice reform, a debate about healthcare reform. And so when people reach out to actually have those debates, whether you agree with them or whether you don't agree with them, I really think that you ought to be willing to have the conversation and listen to the conversation. Obviously, I'm talking to you, the listener, because you're listening to the conversation we're about to have right now. But also keep this in mind, I hope that if you're a potential guest on my podcast or any other podcast, whether you agree with that person or you don't agree with that person, be willing to go on or have a conversation, whether it's a podcast or just a conversation with someone you don't agree with in everyday life, whether it's on Facebook, in a non-argumentative way, obviously, is what I'm saying. So enough of me rambling on. Here is the interview. We're going to be discussing Native American mascots with Dr. Laurel Davis Delano.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very well. Thank you. I truly appreciate you coming on the podcast, and I appreciate your candor in telling me, you know, and having that, at least that discussion with me, the email exchange that we had. I really appreciate that. It really made me think. I thought about it all night, actually. It was very...
What part of it?
All of it, actually, and most in particular, the part about where other people maybe not want to come on the podcast because they might not want to speak with a former law enforcement officer.
And as
I mentioned, you know, I had thought about that before, and I thought about changing up the name or doing something radically different, because I did have a few problems getting people to come on and whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, who knows? I was just guessing.
No, I think that's definitely accurate. I went to a conference in St. Louis at the beginning of November, talked to a number of people. Now, the conference was about about drug reform and, you know, legalization mm-hmm. of marijuana and things like that. And so I talked to a number of people, you know, it was a lot of different panelists and guest speakers and things. And so I talked to a number of people and they all said, yeah, okay, sure, I'll be on your podcast. And but I can tell that they were not very enthusiastic about it. But I assured them, listen, I'm here at the conference, number one. I believe in drug reform, drug legalization to some degree. But regardless, my point is that I certainly take your words.
They might also be concerned not about you in particular, but who your audience might be.
Well, I think that that's the point is, okay,
right,
I want my audience to be receptive to different points of view, and I want to speak to people. Mm-hmm. So it's not, I'm trying to bridge the gap. I'm trying to get one particular group of people, right, law enforcement, to see another side, and I want community activists to see the law enforcement side so we can understand each other. And I think the mm-hmm. point of this is to have the conversation and to have the dialogue. We always say, let's have a national conversation about racism, have a national dialogue about this, about that. But then somebody wants to have the dialogue and then people don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Okay. So thank you for coming on the podcast, Dr. Laurel Davis Delano. Thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome.
So let's get started. So one of the reasons that I wanted to have you on the podcast is because of this controversy that happened in my state of Connecticut. You know, we're in a border state, right? You're in Massachusetts, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So there's the high school. It's Killingly, I believe it's called Killingly High School. I know it's in Killingly, Connecticut. So it was on the news and it kind of piqued my interest. And so what happened is back in July of 2019, the Killingly High School changed the name from the Red Men to the Red Hawks. And now there is a controversy to change it back to the Red Men. I guess many of the parents, who are, I assume, my age, you know, 30s, 40s, 50s or so, want it because they went to the high school and because of tradition and things like that, they want it to become the Red Men again. And so I reached out to a number of different people, and that's how I found out about you and the work that you have done about Native American issues and things like that. So before we go down that road, could you just tell the audience a little bit about yourself?
Okay. Well, I'm a professor of sociology at Springfield College. And one of the main topics, but not the only topic that I have studied is Native American mascots. And I generally study issues of inequality. And I'm most interested in doing what some scholars call, quote, studying up, meaning studying the people from categories that have power relative to other categories. And so I've studied men and masculinity. I've studied heterosexuality. And I've studied whites and white attitudes, white behaviors. And so related to the topic we're covering right now, I've studied kind of white attitudes and practices related to Native issues.
Very good. I would almost think that would be considered studying down, right? Because you would,
yeah.
from a perspective of those in a dominant, right? Males, heterosexuality, et cetera, et cetera. They're looking at it from their perspective, looking down, regardless.
But they up in that they as a category have more power, resources, and so forth.
Very good. Okay. Now,
so up in a stratification system.
Good. Good. Okay. Okay. Now you are a white female, correct?
Yeah.
Correct. So I'm just saying that for the reference of the audience, because they may ask, well, why not have someone from a Native tribe? Well, the answer to that question is I tried to get a number of different people from different Native groups, and none of them called me back or got back to me. And you were so gracious enough to get back to me. So let's get into this controversy. Can you explore just a little bit about the history of this controversy between And before we start off with this, I am not going to be as sensitive to certain terms. I don't even know if Red Men is a slur, or so. If I say something that's out the way, please correct me. And to the audience members, if you heard me say something that's out the way, know that it comes from a place of ignorance. I just don't know what's termed correct and incorrect. And as an African-American male myself, I probably should know, but I don't. So could you explain to us the history of this controversy behind Native American mascots and all that?
Okay, so I'm not a historian, but I actually manage a email list of scholars who study this topic, and these scholars are both Native scholars and non-Native scholars, and we come from all different disciplines, including a few historians, but I am not one. But I do know from their work that Native mascots emerged in the late 1800s and much more heavily in the early 1900s. And this was at a time when the physical violence had, relative to Native Americans, had ended kind of at around this time. And there were not positive beliefs, generally speaking, about Native people in U.S. society during this time period. And they emerged primarily, and there's far, far more Native mascots than any other human type of mascot. A person looked at the numbers, and in 2014, there were over 2,000 Native mascots still in the United States in the schools, and mostly in the school systems. And something like, I don't know, somewhere between 8% and 9% of high schools, that was their mascot in 2014. So they're very pervasive. Most other mascots are animals. And one thing that the vast majority of mascots have in common is they kind of signify aggression and sometimes violence and the use of force and power. And so the particular animals that are picked are things like tigers. and so Native people were selected because of a common stereotype of them as aggressive warriors in the past. And that stereotype has existed since early colonization of the United States. And that stereotype was used to justify violence against Native Americans and also pushing them into other places and other atrocities. And so the reason why Native Americans are mascots is a stereotype that's commonly studied of them as kind of aggressive male warriors, which is, you know, a stereotype associated with the past. And this is also aligned with many, but not all, other mascots that exist. So that's kind of the history of them. The history of activism is, there's been such a long history of oppression faced by Native people, starting with early colonization all the way up to the present. And so Native people have been struggling with a vast number of issues. And as you know, and as I'm sure all your listeners know, there was a civil rights movement focused on African American issues in the 60s and 70s there's always been activism against racial inequality. But around that same time, Native people also became active, or more active, I should say. Native people, like African American people, have always been in resistance to inequality. But it was a period of activism in the 60s and 70s. And that's when the mascot issue became a part of a very large number of other issues that Native activists and Native tribal nations, and I'll comment on that in a second, started to become active. And similar to kind of any of the issues of inequality, representations of people, whether they be mascots or in the news, how people are portrayed in the news or how people are portrayed in films or television or on consumer products, that is wrapped up with beliefs, and the beliefs are wrapped up with all kinds of other issues. right? So, and so it was part of a kind of larger movement, and the earliest success in the movement were at the college level, at least that we know of. Two of the early colleges that changed were Stanford and Dartmouth, and also University of Oklahoma. And so it's just been continuing, but it's very hard when you've got a group of people that is a small percentage of the U.S. population and fairly segregated for that group to be able to have much of an impact. And so that movement is growing, you know, since the 60s and 70s.
Very good. Thank you for that. Now, can you speak about the what I would call the hypocrisy concerning the imagery of the warrior type aggressive male natives versus those who are really aggressive, right? The white people running in, killing them, taking their land, et cetera, and how they speak about the if you can, speak about the hypocrisy about that.
Yeah, so there's no stereotype about whites as an aggressive race, even though they were the colonizers, right? So, yeah, that's pretty much all you can say. I mean, you identified the hypocrisy, but oftentimes groups from the, you know, I mentioned studying up before, groups from the more powerful categories face a lot less stereotyping. And one thing that we know about stereotyping is stereotyping it is often, I won't say always because I don't know that's the case, often aligned with interests, right? So if you portray Native Americans as aggressive, bloodthirsty warriors, then you can justify killing them, moving them on reservations and not letting them leave. If you stereotype Native Americans as you know, this is a contemporary stereotype, you know, kind of, and there's a similar stereotype of African Americans and Latinx people, you know, as lazy, not valuing families, abusing drugs, then you can justify not doing anything that's helpful to them, right? Because it's their fault. And so stereotypes are often aligned with actions, whether those are individual actions or policies and collective actions. And of course, it's mostly, not only, dominant group members that have control over the spread of ideas in society through representations of people.
Concerning that whole stereotype thing, I did read an article about that fairly recently, and that even went to Asian Americans. As far as being lazy, which is just ridiculous.
But. No, I've never heard of that. That's not really in the academic research.
Oh yeah, I can send you. It was in an article that actually may have been a book. I can't remember. I was trying to read so much, mm-hmm. But regardless, it was talking about the history of the article that I was reading about.
Early U.S. history.
Yes, in early U.S. history.
Yes, today.
Right. Yeah. Yes, correct. And yes, early U.S. history was about early U.S. history in San Francisco, trying not to let them have access to vote and all this kind of stuff. And one of the reasons was because Asians were lazy. Ironically, they bought here to help build railroads and things like that, but they're lazy.
Yeah.
just absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Mm-hmm. This controversy, let's dig a little bit more into the controversy. So we define what it is. Let's talk about the psychological effects of it.
Oh, yes. Okay, I have a lot to say about that.
Yes.
Okay.
Fire away.
So this is, you know, this is usually the crux of what I want people to know about the mascot issue. So Native American mascots are generally stereotypical, and they're stereotypical in some ways we've already talked about, that they're almost all male figures, okay? They're almost all portrayed as warriors / somewhat chiefs. They're portrayed as a people of the past, which is not a common stereotype of other persons of color in the United States. And they're depicted as homogenous, meaning not diverse. And we know that there are over 600 separate Native tribal nations in the United States, and that they have cultures that are quite different from each other. And so it's not surprising that they, that people, that the majority of people, especially not Native people, you know, do not perceive the mascots as stereotypes. And this is because they have, most people have very little contact with contemporary Native people, which of course could reduce stereotyping. It's because when Native people are portrayed in the mainstream media, they are portrayed mostly in stereotypical ways. And another reason why people don't get it is they perceive, and I truly believe many people when they say this, that the mascots are positive compliments, or this is usually phrased as honoring Native people. And so people say things like, well, we're honoring Native people because they were brave warriors from the past, right? They don't usually use the word the past. And there is some research that is really important, that not all stereotypes are on the surface negative. You know, so there's like, women are nurturing, African Americans are good athletes, Asian Americans are so smart, but those are still stereotypes. And there's some research that shows that these allegedly positive stereotypes can be quite harmful, because they put people in a box. And sometimes if you dig up around these allegedly positive stereotypes, you can find some ways that they work in negative ways. And you can also find a history of when they weren't so negative. So, but it's really important for people to realize that there are these things called positive stereotypes, that racial inequality and any other kind of inequality isn't just built on like overtly or clearly negative messages about a group of people. So let me get to the research. So, first, the research demonstrates that Native mascots both reflect and reinforce racial stereotypes and prejudice. And there are three categories of findings. So first, I'm talking about kind of the effects on non-Native people. First, some research shows that when this is mostly experimental research, that the mascots are associated with negative thoughts and negative stereotypes. Even these things that, you know, that are perceived positively, that they have negative associations and are associated with negative stereotypes. Further, and this is really important, when non-Native people are exposed to these mascots in experimental studies, some research shows that this increases their stereotyping of Native Americans. So the first point is that they're just associated with this negative stereotyping, and the second point is that exposure increases it, the stereotyping of Native Americans. And the last piece is that if you compare those who support Native mascots and see no problem with them or like them to those who are critical of Native mascots, those who support them are more likely to believe prejudicial ideas about Native Americans. Now, this would be unconscious for most people, right, who love Native mascots and who support them. And they might not realize, probably do not realize, because they think that they have a positive relation with these mascots and that they're honoring Native people. So I thought I'd give you a few examples of studies around this first category of studies, which is the effects on non-Native people.
Yes, yes. Can we pause right there for a second? Can we pause
sure.
right there? Now, yeah, I did wanted you to really kind of elaborate. Can you go over the first point again?
That the mascots, so there's three categories of findings under effects on non-Native people.
Right, and the first one you read.
One is just that non-Native people associate And this is often done through implicit bias studies. I don't know if you've talked about that on your
show. I have. I did do an episode about that, yes.
Yeah. So that through those studies, we know that the native mascots, and they often compare them to reactions to white mascots, are more apt to be associated with negative thoughts and also with negative stereotypes of Native Americans.
Okay, so just, if we can pause right there for a second. So
sure.
I'm an African-American male. Mm-hmm. When I look at, and I grew up in watching college football and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When I remember some of the articles I think that you sent me and that I did read talked about the Illinois state or Illinois University mascot that they had at the time. I forget his name. University of Illinois Illinecki or something like that. Chief Illinecki or something like that was his name.
Oh, Illiniwek.
I'm sorry. What was it?
Illiniwek.
Okay, Illiniwek. So, I did not have any negative feelings about that. Maybe it was implicit. I don't know. But as I'm looking at this, or if I look at other people, and I certainly do think that the Cleveland Indian mascot was racist, that big red face and all that kind of stuff. So I can see that. But I did not have any negative feeling. Now, digging more into this implicit bias, was it an implicit bias that I had when I'm looking at that mascot? Or I grew up as a Florida State fan, the Seminoles. Are all those implicitly in myself?
Yeah, the studies use, depending on the study, they use all different representations.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of them have used, most of them have not used the Cleveland Wahoo figure.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them have used images like the University of Illinois logo, kind of standard images,
right.
Or the image like Florida State, which, you know, appear like kind of as a homogenous, generic male native warrior from the past, right?
Right.
And so those studies, they're all done in very different ways. But what the Cheney study did, for example, is they did an implicit bias test and they selected some kind of standard white mascots and a standard native. I think it was 8 and 8. Okay. And they used an implicit bias test to compare reactions to the white mascots to the native mascots. And they also had images of native people. Okay, contemporary Native people, and they found that their sample—I think they had several samples—were more apt to associate Native mascots with negative thoughts and negative stereotypes of Native Americans than the white mascots.
Gotcha. Okay.
Okay.
I can definitely see that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and you know, they're looking at samples, right? So. If we have, just making up a number, 100 white people in one sample or 500 white people, you know, they're looking for trends. They're not looking for, like, you or me in our particular attitudes.
Gotcha.
So that's the first point. The second one is that after exposure to Native mascots, that increases stereotyping of Native Americans. An example of that study was done by Engel, and they used a generic Native logo, like not one for a particular team that currently exists. And it looks it looks kind of like most of the ones that we see around. And they found that when liberal people were exposed to the Native logo, this increased their unconscious stereotyping of Native people as warlike. So, you know, looking at a particular stereotype rather than, you know, just negative thoughts, and they're looking at kind of what happens after exposure and not just kind of associations, and. They found that this finding was for liberal people.
Mm.
And their explanation is based on other people's explanations that liberal people are more malleable.
Right, Right.
Okay.
Is there any negative association? I know that's more positive association when you looked at white imagery. Now, I can think of two collegiate teams, and there are probably a bunch of others, right? The Rebels, right? I think the Rebels from Mississippi and the University of UNLV running Rebels. Is there any negative connotation with that? Do people look at them and say—
Nobody studied that.
Okay. Okay.
So I have no idea. There are like a handful of, a very small number of white or other non-native ethnic slash racial mascots. And in terms of the effects research, there's no studies on them. But I think it's really, really important to note that those are really far and few between.
Okay.
But there's an enormous numbers of native mascots.
Gotcha. Okay.
So in one other study, Kim Prito, in 2010 had the really surprising finding that exposure to the University of Illinois logo, which is just basically a big head with a big headdress on, led to greater stereotyping of Asian Americans.
Yes,
and that's the only study that has examined negative effects of native mascots on non-native groups. Nobody really knows why exposure to native mascot image would affect, you know, increase stereotyping of Asian Americans, except for people think, well, maybe it's just kind of triggering this sort of simplistic stereotypical thinking. But it does indicate that maybe we should be concerned that native mascots are having a negative effects on other persons of color. So that's the studies on the effects of native mascots on non-native people. And of course, if just kind of a follow-up on that, if these mascots are increasing unconsciously, mostly stereotyping and negative thoughts, and are to a greater degree associated with prejudice against Native people, then, you know, that could impact treatment, not necessarily of individual treatment, like I treat a Native American person a particular way, but it could impact attitudes towards policies, voting patterns, and that sort of thing. So the other set of studies is on the effects of native mascots on native people more directly than
Before we jump into the impacts upon native people, I do want to just comment on what you said about the policies and the voting patterns. And that absolutely happened in Killingly, Connecticut, where they essentially voted out most of the Democratic leadership in the town halls in this past election because of this mascot because of this mascot controversy. So I can certainly back up with what you're saying, and a lot of people, you know, voted and cleared them all out. Essentially, now there's a supermajority of Republican conservative thinkers now running the town hall over a mascot policy, over a mascot situation. And now people are saying, well, listen, once the mascot policy is settled, we still got to live life. You know, we still have to do a lot of other things. So I just want to kind of back up what you're saying there, and that played out here and where I am. But please continue.
I wasn't even thinking of that kind of voting. I was thinking of, you know, every day there are native issues that state legislative bodies and most especially federal legislative bodies and also the executive branch are implementing policies related to Native people. And most news about those policies is not in the mainstream.
Sure.
Unless there's protests, right?
Right.
But if you read the Native news, you know, there's several Native news organizations. Every day, these policies are being discussed and actions are happening related to these policies. So I was thinking more about that.
Gotcha.
And, you know, most non-Native people are for the most part, probably unaware of all these issues that are happening, and that the people that they voted to, that they voted for, they probably have no idea what those people's positions are on these issues and how they're voting on them.
Right, right, right.
Okay, so on to the research on kind of direct effects on Native people. So there's two big studies, and then there's some master's theses and a doctoral dissertation. So the first one, the one that people always talk about, is by Stephanie Freiberg and the rest of her authors. And she did a series of either four or five, I'm forgetting the number of studies now, and they were with Native high school students, and they were in different Native communities. And she also went to a college that is a Native college, or almost exclusively Native college, and did a study there.
I had no idea there was such a thing. Wow.
Yes, there is.
Okay, wow. I learned something
okay.
new today. Wow.
And so she's got a pretty diverse sample of Native youth or Native young people, and she exposed them to not just mascot images, but also an image of Pocahontas from the Disney movie, which is also very stereotypical, but in a very different way, and a non-stereotypical image of a Native woman in what looks like a chemistry lab, and also to no images, and to, descriptions of how Native people are doing economically, educationally, et cetera. And she has three main findings. And this is regardless of what the Native youth thought of Native mascots. So when exposed to Native mascots compared to kind of the control condition where there was no exposure, that decreased the self-esteem of the Native youth in her study. It also decreased their perceptions of future possibilities. So there's this measure of where you're asked, what can you imagine yourself doing next year or in the future? And so if you can come up with lots of answers, like, I could do this, this will happen, I'll make this happen, then that's considered good, right? But if you can't come up with much, especially positive things, then that is a problem, right? And so So exposure to the Native mascots, again, there were multiple ones, not just a single one, decreased the ability to generate ideas for the future or have perceptions of what one could do in the future. The third piece was that there was a community measure, and Native youth were asked the degree to which they thought their community could effectively accomplish things in the future. In this case, their Native communities or their Native tribal nations. And that got decreased after exposure to Native mascots. And as I said, this happened to Native youth regardless of their attitude toward Native issues. It also happened with exposure to the Pocahontas image, but to a lesser degree. So the other study is by LaRocque. And she was studying, University of North Dakota had a mascot called the Fighting Sioux, which was it looks like the Blackhawks image, the ice hockey.
Yeah, the Blackhawks. Yeah.
And so she exposed Native students and non-Native students to two slideshows that included images associated with the Fighting Sioux logo. And one was kind of a controversial slideshow that had, people making fun, other schools' images of making fun of the Fighting Sioux mascot. And the other one was just standard images, just like the image of the Blackhawk's head. And the Native students were much more apt to have negative feelings, with either slideshow, okay? And also they more distress, and she had a variety of negative feelings, like depression and a bunch of other negative feelings, and they experienced more distress from the exposure. So basically, what these studies show is that the mascots are really creating kind of a hostile climate for young Native people, even for Native youth who are not necessarily critical of the mascots, right?
Mm-hmm.
So just to kind of summarize, most people in the U.S. don't perceive Native mascots as problematic. But the research findings clearly demonstrate that they are educationally harmful to Native students, certainly in terms of creating a hostile climate, and to non-Native students, because education is supposed to, you know, inform us, make us think in more complex ways and in more valid ways. And if the mascots are generating or contributing, I should say, to stereotyping, that is not educationally sound for non-Native students either. And so, and generally speaking, a lot of us, the scholars, right, we think that schools should be making educationally sound decisions.
Right.
And they should look at research findings to figure out what's educationally sound, as they would do if they were, for example, deciding on what math curriculum to use. They would look at, well, which one produces the best results,
right?
And so, you know, as scholars, we want people to pay attention to the research. And in this case, we want people to pay attention to what's educationally sound. And so overwhelmingly, the scholars who study this topic from all disciplines think the educationally sound decision is to eliminate Native mascots.
Now, once again, speaking from an African-American perspective, I can certainly understand that there is an importance to seeing images of people, or of yourself, positive images of myself on TV. It's important to see Black doctors, Black police officers, Black politicians. And I can only assume that this is the same for the Native people.
Mm-hmm.
Why is all this, why do you think that this is having such a negative effect on people, of especially Negative youth? Why are they so affected by this, by seeing, as we said, a pretty benign image of a Black Hawk face? Why is that triggering a sense of low self-esteem, where they don't feel that they can be productive in society, or can't see themselves being a doctor or lawyer or whatever? Why do we do we know why that
so
is?
So that's a really good question. So, you know, you have brought up African-American issues, so let me go back to that. So there's a lot more representation of African-Americans in our society than there is of Native people. Part of that, of course, is related to population size, but a good part of it isn't related to population size. So, and you and I could both list off stereotypes of African-Americans that we see portrayed, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that is in a context today, in the past, African-Americans were, you know, almost virtually invisible in mainstream media, except for a few things. And when they were in mainstream media, they were stereotyped in really problematic ways, like 90% of the time, or I'm just making up that number.
Right.
But today, there's a lot of non-stereotypical stuff.
Right.
And there's a lot of representation. Okay. Mm-hmm. Not in all genres, but in many.
Right.
And, you know, African Americans are still underrepresented in many cases, but it's really changed. So when there are stereotypes of African Americans that are really offensive, people often mobilize, people point their fingers, but it's going to have less of an effect because it might have an effect. Okay, and we need to study that, but it's going to have probably less of an effect, given that there are all these other types of imagery, right? So for Native people, they are in most representational arenas, so in films, in television shows, in news, and so on and so forth, greatly underrepresented. And in addition, when they are represented, and they are not underrepresented as mascots, right? But when they are represented, it's because of a stereotype.
Right.
So this is a different context. So if you're from a group where you are invisible most of the time, and then when you are portrayed, you're portrayed as from the past, not people that exist today, right? From the past only, okay, or mostly, and stereotyped in the past as kind of male warriors.
Right.
This is a totally different context for how representations can affect people. Because the message, and, you know, this may or may not be conscious, is, you know, you don't exist as a Native people, okay? You only exist in the past, and what you were in the past was a bunch of male warriors.
Gotcha.
Like, this is, you know, and back to that point about how the aggressive male warrior stereotype was used to justify genocide. That's a very different context. And so nobody can really study the great details has thus far, because it's so complex, been able to study how this works fully. But that's what we are theorizing.
I got you.
It's also important to realize, and this goes to one of the things we could talk about, is the resistance that you've brought up about Killington, because this is common all across the country. It's not unusual in Killington. There's many places where people get voted out of office when they support change or elimination of Native mascots. And so one very valuable question is, what is going on? Why is there so much attachment to these mascots that they would make it a big election issue, you know, and try to reverse a decision like that? And one of Freiberg's other findings was that when white youth were exposed to Native mascots, their self-esteem went up.
I don't find that to be problematic or controversial or surprising at all.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And so one of the things that I've been trying to explore, and I don't have a published study on this, but is, and some of us have been theorizing about and doing some research about, is like, what is behind this attachment?
I think that's fairly obvious, is that they see these images and think that their ancestors and forefathers conquered them.
Some of us think.
Yeah.
But probably unconsciously, right?
Right. Right, right. What you said. These are people from the past. These are these warriors, people from the past, and my forefathers beat them. That's exactly what they're thinking.
Well, what we do know from unpublished research is that support for the mascots is aligned with U.S. nationalism.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's aligned with a particular belief that men should be tough. Like, yeah. A particular version of masculinity.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's a lot of resistance. And, you know, it's also attached to tradition, as are kind of any mascots, right?
Right, right.
But some things seem to go beyond that in this case.
Yeah. I was going to ask you about that, and I thank you for segueing into this whole nationalistic debate. And in that article that I was reading from the Hartford Current before talking about Killingly, Connecticut, is the alignment with the whole Trump movement. Have you seen that in your research? Nothing.
Okay. So in general, you know, there are both liberals and conservative people who support Native mascots.
Okay.
The research does show that conservatives are more apt, but that doesn't mean that, you know, liberal people are on the other side necessarily.
Right.
So But, you know, it could be.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of things that are that people haven't researched yet because there's not enough of us studying Native issues. There's a lot of Native issues to study. And it also in academia, you know, people studying Native American issues is a very, very small percent. You know, those studies are, Native people are underrepresented in scholarship too.
Now, how did
I just had a paper accepted as an upcoming conference, and it's a very big conference. And I looked at the, I did a quick search of some Native terms, and it looked like there was one, maybe two other papers that might be focused on Native Americans. And not everybody's going to put that in their title, but
right. Just as a segue, how did you? Since there's such a dearth of scholars and scholarship in this area, how did you get into this area?
Well, that's a good question. So in general, I have a family background that is focused on issues of, or somewhat has been focused somewhat on issues of inequality, but not Native issues. But then I started kind of studying some issues in sport, including stereotypes of African Americans in sport. And then I was studying at the University of Iowa, and I went on a Big Ten student exchange. Big Ten, there's 10 colleges in, and I was at the University of Illinois. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was astounded. At that time, they still officially had their Native mascot.
And what year
but
was
they
that?
They are hanging on to it at University of Illinois.
Is it still, I don't even know. Is it still that?
No, mascot? It's not.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But there's a very large body of alumni and other people that have resisted the change. And so you can find it all over campus.
Wow.
In defiance, really, of the administration finally making the decision to remove it.
Are these people from not only from the University of Illinois, but all over the country, which we talked about, are they just resistant or they just don't care about the research that's saying it's negatively affecting people? They just don't care? What is up with that?
Well, okay. So that's a good topic to discuss a little bit about. So people are passionate about their mascots, right? Especially athletes and especially people that are kind of have... identify heavily with their school or their team in the case of pro teams and that kind of thing. And so, you know, they're attached to the traditions, you know, no matter what they are. And their identities become aligned with their school or a team. I think there are several reasons why a lot of people don't understand the mascot issue. First is, and I mentioned this before, but not this directly, they define racism as having a racist intent. Like, I don't like black people. I don't like Latinx people. I don't like Native Americans. And kind of in an overt negativity. And they don't realize that racial inequality has other components. That there are these things that appear to be positive stereotypes, that there are systems that might on the surface appear to be neutral, but are not when you look at their outcome. So a lot of people define racial inequality and racism as intentionally negative, like kind of got a meanness streak to it, right? And I don't think that that's what's primarily happening here. But if people are just thinking about intent and they know that they and the people around them don't have a overtly negative intent, right? Then we're not doing anything wrong. Many people believe stereotypes of Native Americans, whether those, especially past stereotypes, because that's what we have learned. We haven't learned much, but we have learned these two main stereotypes, the bloodthirsty savage stereotype and the noble childlike back to nature stereotype. And also remember the self-esteem is picked up. And so in almost in every situation that I know of, There are always more people who support, like in cases of struggles over Native mascots, there are always more people who support the local mascot than those who oppose it. And that makes it incredibly difficult to eliminate Native mascots at the local level. And furthermore, these are, when this is going on, this is really tough on Native people, because, you know, they are in the spotlight. They have task overload, emotional overload. They're hearing people. And the other thing that we haven't talked about is cultural appropriation. Like, so this is basically non-Native people, mostly white people, taking somebody else's identity and claiming it for themselves.
Mm.
So this would be like, okay, I'm this white person. I'm going to be, you know, call myself Black or African American, and I'm going to represent, you know, African Americanness, right?
Right.
And so, which would be, you know, also stereotypical. There's, I think, you know, we need, you know, in the long run, we need massive amounts of education about persons of color, including Native Americans, infused into the media and infused into the curriculum. And for Native people, that needs to be more diverse portrayals of the past, so that people realize that most Native people weren't warriors in the past, and making contemporary Native people visible.
Right, right.
And so that it's this context that is really shaping how this is playing out across the nation.
Mm. You spoke about the negative aspects around the Pocahontas character. Can you talk about that a little bit more? Why is that such a negative?
Well, that is actually aligned with the noble, which is, this is also perceived as a positive stereotype, this noble Indian stereotype, which is that Native people are super spiritual, in touch with nature, primitive, childlike, and those sorts of things. And also, and so that's a stereotype, right? So not all Native people are spiritual, and Native people who are spiritual in a variety of ways.
Well, you're saying that
Native people aren't all traditional.
But you're saying that people look upon Native peoples today in 2019 like that, but...
Yes, that's okay. Why
okay.
There are all these non-Native people who do things like adopt what they perceive to be Native spiritual practices and those sorts of things. But Pocahontas movie is similar to some other movies in which, in this case, both sides are portrayed as racist in the Pocahontas Disney movie.
It's been a while since I've seen that movie.
Okay,
so.
Yeah. Okay. I recently coded it, so I'm remembering it more.
Okay.
You know, both sides are portrayed as equally racist, when really this was a situation of colonization. You know, it was...
Right.
And the noble savage stereotypes include Native people who come on the side of whites and support whites who are engaged in colonization, which she did, or she's portrayed to have done.
Right.
She's also sexualized. Pocahontas wasn't that old at that time. She had no relationship with
John Smith.
Yeah, Smith.
She was 11 or 12 in real life or something like that. Yeah. Right?
So she, you know, she wasn't, you know, so there's like those sorts of issues, but I don't know why. And that was only one study, you know, one study of the effects of that kind of image.
Mm. You mentioned cultural appropriation. Have you ever researched the effects of when the U.S. military names their weapons of war after you know, the Tomahawk cruise missile, the Apache helicopter. Have you ever explored any of that?
Yeah, no, I haven't, and it's an excellent topic.
Yeah.
And nor do I know anybody else who has explored that.
Really? I thought I read some articles. Well, I definitely read some articles. This is years ago. I definitely read some articles about, I don't know if it was by scholars, but somebody out there has definitely wrote something about how the U.S. military names their stuff. It was obviously a negative aspect by the U.S. military to do that. They should not have done it. They should not do it. But it was definitely something I read before.
Well, you know, and there are, obviously there were and are Native warriors and soldiers. And Native people are overrepresented numerically in the U.S. military. And so some Native tribal nations and some Native people view this as a positive thing. But it certainly is aligned with the stereotype of Native Americans as warriors, right?
Mm.
And, you know, when they went after bin Laden, they called it something Geronimo.
Yes, yeah, Operation Geronimo, yeah.
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 There's one scholar, a couple scholars who are studying Native people in consumer images. And so you could have run into it there as just a mention. So things like some of the Argo cornstarch, names of cars, Land O'Lakes butter, beers.
Again, do Native peoples look at this as appropriation? Are they insulted by it, or is this?
Well, Native opinion. So like Native people and any other group of people, they don't all agree,
right?
So like African American people have different views of police issues, right? And women have different views of gendered language or sexual compliments, right?
Very true.
So we can't expect that Native people, you know, are going to have a unified opinion on anything, just like we can't expect women to have a unified opinion on anything. We can expect for there to be some trends, like when you compare women to men or African Americans to whites, or Native people to whites. But I think the most important thing about Native opinion is, well, first of all, the research on polls is extremely flawed, because there's this entire body of research on the complexities associated with Native identity. I'm sure you've heard about Elizabeth Warren, for example,
claiming
Native identity.
Right.
And there's lots of different ways to define Native identity, but Native identity is extremely complex and wrapped up in colonial history and U.S. policies.
Right.
And so it's really important to know what you're doing when you are doing a poll, right? And many polling organizations have not known what they're doing. But the most important thing is that there is a very large number of Native organizations that have taken a stand against Native mascots. And this includes professional groups like the National Indian Education Association, which is the main body of people who are Native Americans in the field of education. Also, the Native American Journalists Association. But the most important group is the National Congress of American Indians. They are the largest Native organization in the United States, by far, and they represent over 250 Native tribal nations. And they not only have come out against Native mascots, but they have a whole campaign focused on it. Now, meanwhile, they're focused on lots of other really important things like Native tribal nation sovereignty, religious rights, treaty rights, criminal justice issues, healthcare issues, et cetera, et cetera. And then it's also, besides Native opinion, important to realize that there's a large number of academic organizations that have come out against Native mascots because, unlike most of the public, you know, we're familiar with the research, right? So this includes the group that's cited most often is the American Psychological Association, but the American Sociological Association, the American Anthropological Association, these are three of the biggest national bodies in the social and behavioral sciences, and there's others as well, you know, have come out against the mascots because we look at the research. The research is really hard for, if I had sent you a piece of the research that I was discussing earlier, it's really hard for somebody who doesn't have kind of graduate level research background to get through this research. I mean, it's obviously doable because people are smart people, but this has to be translated for most people. Plus, it takes an incredible amount of time to read this stuff and to even find this stuff. And so I think that a lot of people don't seek that stuff. And when they do, you know, it's hard to find it all and interpret it all and that sort of thing.
Right. Fascinating, fascinating stuff. So I'll let you go now, but what can we do? Is there any hope for any of this? I mean, if most of these organizations don't want these mascots, is there any hope for the future? And once again, I think, as we mentioned before, that many people are stoked in this nationalism, tribalism, jingoism, whatever. And I think that people are holding on to it. I'll send you the Hartford Current article and you can read where people are really attributing this to Trump and they don't want things to change. And they're saying that if they, if we change the mascots, what's next? We take the Pledge of Allegiance out. So there's this great vast conspiracy theory that's going on here. So I think it's gonna be a road to go, but give us your opinion about what we can do to change it and or if it can be changed.
Well, yes, because we have been slowly, we meaning people who care about Native issues, have been, and especially Native people and Native organizations and Native nations, and I use the term Native nations because Native tribal nations have sovereignty, right? So people have been working on this, and we are chipping away at a steady rate. and it's just very difficult, very slow, and it's difficult emotionally, it's difficult workload-wise, it's difficult because there's so much opposition, but we are making progress. And what people can do I think the first thing that people can do is become informed. And a great place to start is to read the, recently there was a national project with many studies in it called the Reclaiming Native Truth Project. And what people can do is there's a general research report. There's also a report for, you know, aimed at Native people and at allies. So those of us that are not Native that are wanting to support Native people's issues, read those. And those are written in a very understandable manner and learn not only about Native history and learn it from sources that are scholarly sound, you know, but also learn about contemporary Native people, which is a hard thing to do because there's so little media coverage, but there are Native media organizations such as, but not only, Indian Country Today, in which people can learn about those issues. And then support Native activism efforts, including local ones like on the mascot issue or on Columbus Day, but also national ones and that are on multiple issues. whether it's on an environmental issue or a sovereignty issue or a child welfare issue or a media issue. Here in Massachusetts, several groups have come together, and we have what's called the Massachusetts Indian Native People's Agenda. Well, no, Indigenous People's Agenda. And we have five bills that we're supporting, trying to get in through the Massachusetts state government. One of them's a mascot bill, but there's four other bills. I don't know if you've seen the Massachusetts state seal or read about it, but that's a we have a bill. You mentioned the kind of rebel Confederate that's still in one state flag. And, you know, the Massachusetts state flag is equally problematic in terms of messages.
I did not know that. And that's interesting because Massachusetts, as I was reading up trying to prepare for this interview, Massachusetts, I think they banned all of their high schools from having those mascots.
So, no, it's just a bill.
Okay.
There's three states that have bills, and one of them is narrowly construed.
Okay.
And Massachusetts is not one of them. But, you know, there's things to work on and, you know, let Native people take the lead and learn all you can.
Okay. Very good.
And then be active. It can be signing petitions or testifying at a state house or that sort of thing.
Very good. Thank you so much. Now, I think we got a little distracted from your, and this will be the last point. We got a little distracted from how you got into this line of work. I interrupted you. You were.
Oh no, I was done.
Oh, okay.
arrived at University of Illinois, where there was at the time the Native mascot was in full flourish there and still in place officially and unofficially, and I was shocked, And so I just then started studying Native issues and got involved in scholarship on the Native mascot issue.
Okay.
But that led me, I mean, I read it as extremely racist, right?
Mm.
And I was just floored. And so that got me, you know, and although I had a background in understanding issues of inequality at that time, I did not have a background on understanding Native issues, and of course, I still have a huge amounts to learn. Nobody can, you know, we all need to learn about all kinds of things. So,
right, I got you, and I agree. Thank you so much for being on the podcast, Dr. Laurel Davis Delano. Thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome. Yeah. Best wishes.
Okay, thank you. Take care.
Mm-hmm, bye.
Bye. I really hope that you enjoyed that conversation. I know I did. I want to thank Dr. Davis Delano for coming on the podcast. I really appreciated the conversation. As I mentioned before, this is not the end of the conversation. Because of the Super Bowl, I called her back. We had another great conversation, and that will be part two. I will be releasing that very shortly, so stay tuned for that for part two. And make sure that you subscribe, share, and like. And remember, the podcast can be supported through Venmo, PayPal, and Cash App. And when I say make sure that you rate, subscribe, and share, please make sure that you do that. This information needs to get out there. I'm trying to have these great conversations, and I appreciate your efforts to help this podcast grow and to go on. So until next time, much love and peace.